Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
But you people are not even excited about Masanafu and Kayunga Wakiso. What a shock! Masanafu, Kayunga Wakiso. Otherwise, we have Worship Harvest Gayaza. Your pastors are here. Worship Harvest Downtown. Your pastor is there. Worship Harvest Bukolobi. Your pastor is there. Worship Harvest Chira. Your pastor is there. Worship Harvest Chanja. Your pastor is somewhere. Worship Harvest Kungu. Nakawa. Let's go quickly. Entebbe. Ziwe Deo. Jinja. Mbale. Mbarara. Fort Poto. Kasese. Kabale. Matuka. Mukono. Chitukutwe. Mukono Central. Nabusugwe. Nabusugwe. Congratulations about yesterday. Gaba Road. Msambia. Muyenga. Weyogerere, Salama Road, Ndeje, Mpiji, Masaka, Nyendo, Chibinge, Machindie, Nakwero, Jogo, Chisoga, Msasa. I started with Masanafu. What's wrong with this one? Kulambiro, Seta, Busega, Bajo, Jogo, Chirinya, Garuga, wait, I already said we're there. Okay, Budondo, Bulondo, Kamuli, Wairaka, Iganga, Magamaga, Kachira, Bugembe, Kaliro, Budaka, Mbale, Chibibi, Namamve, Arua, Gulu, Lira, Nebi, Wandi, Busika, Namlonge, Maganjo, Kawempe, Entebbe Central, Nakawuka, Kasanje, Webaja, Abaita, Kajansi, Bunamwaya, Segoko, Hoima, who's that? Kasese, Bukaya, Njeru, Nalia. Okay. Nairobi, Ongatarongai, Kitengela, Juja, Kigali, Dusseldorf, UK, Canada, US. Germany, ne do sort of your mukale. Germany, guys, sit down. All of this to just thank God, because a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. That's what the scripture teaches. So on that day, 21 people came together. Today, there are about 25,000 people that we know of, the ones we can account for in Worship Harvest. That's a little one has become a thousand. And all those locations, I'm sure I left out people, and I'll be getting inboxes. and so 114 locations, more than 2,000 missional communities, 24 operational properties where people are meeting in their own, they are not paying a landlord, and many others to come who will stop paying landlords. Amen. Because God is faithful. He has been faithful to us as a church family, and if he has been faithful to us, he will be faithful to you. Amen. So whatever it is, you just started a business the other day and it looks like it's taking you. Kutwala, or, you know, Take courage. Pastor Isaac, you're welcome. Thank you for joining us today. You don't have to fret. You don't have to worry. It will work out. Eventually, you know, that patience, also known as long-suffering, is a fruit of the Spirit. It means those with the Holy Spirit have that advantage called patience. You know, the devil does not have the Holy Spirit. So one of the things, one of the ways, I think there's a verse like that. Those through, who through patience and faith. Hebrews 6:12. Thank you. Those who through patience and faith. This is not my message, but I feel like I need to say it. That you do not become sluggish. Ah, yeah. Did I say this is not my message? It is quickly becoming my message. Because, you know, after you start celebrating 18 years, you can start being sluggish. But he says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. To inherit the promises, there has to be two things. One is faith. You have to believe. Yeah, when we are on that little... Can I have the day one pictures, please? Do they have them? Vera, day one pictures. You're going to see Pastor Jamie in a suit, the suit he was talking about. You must believe that even though you are just a little group in a restaurant paying 30,000 shillings, which we never paid 2 weeks in a row, and there is a secret behind that, and I cannot reveal it. Huh? We were setting up. This was setting up. The camera was wrong. The date is wrong from the camera. It wasn't Fool's Day. It was April 2nd. Ah. Now, the power checked on the day. So, the equipment couldn't work. So, I had to play guitar. Bit is done at the front leading. Pastor Evangel is in the checkered skirt. And next on the right of Pastor Evangel is on the right. On the left of Pastor Evangel is Pastor Sam, of course. Who do you think is on the right of Pastor Evangel? Pastor B3. She was very she has been stylish a long time. Yeah, and then Pastor Jeremy in the suit. Wow. That was our media team. It has since grown to 114 media teams in many places. So that's Diana Muhumure in the foreground. That was day one. You have to have faith. Amen. But it says through faith and patience. Go back to the scripture. Faith and patience. And for your marriage to work to the end, you're going to need faith. Why did Pastor even overemphasize the patience? And patience. Amen. Why are people quiet? You're going to claim you're listening, but that's not how you listen every day. What did I say that rubbed you the wrong way? The patience part. You like the faith part. You are wondering about the patience part. Yes, for your ministry to work, to grow, the church, the MC, the zone, the business, name it. Faith. On one hand, patience. On the other hand, and you must be willing to go all the way. All the way. So I want to thank you for going all the way. I mean, look, you came at 8 o'clock in the rain for a service that we are trying out. So I want to thank you. And those who are joining us online at this time, I think all services will be online. So you choose the one you want to stream. But I like this one because it's the first one. So, today, as we, I'm going to use a very a word we share a lot that business people use as we pivot from 18 years and as we look at the next 18. Can you imagine what it will be like if everything that multiplied in the last 18 can multiply at the same rate in the next 18? If 21 people became 25,000 in 18, what would happen if the 25,000 become 25 million in the next 18? Is that too bad? Because all this is about bringing Jesus to people. You know, I don't know where you guys live, but people are pretty desperate with life as it is without Jesus. Yeah. Life is not too good for a lot of people. And we all need Christ. Amen. So I want to share with us as we pivot. We're starting a new series, Flourishing in God's House, and about the church. Okay? Isaiah 2 says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days," amen, "that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it." This is the prophetic declaration about the church. People have prophesied the death of the church for 2,000 years now, and all their prophecies have failed. Because in spite of the best efforts of every kind of entity, empires, governments, insiders, corrupt leaders, to destroy the church, it is still here. You will not find many entities that keep growing over 2,000 years. You will not find any business initiative that over 2,000 years, it only keeps growing. Except the church. Yeah. Its epicenter may have shifted from the Middle East to Europe to the Americas and now to Africa, but it keeps growing. And you and I, especially those of us who live in Africa, we are at the center of the new move of God in the church. So don't sit here and think you're going to just be there admiring whoever, wherever. No. God is calling all of us to go and take this gospel. Amen. So, why? He says, "In the latter days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains." In other words, if you have thought about any entity in its grandeur and size and glory, yes, think about it, and then on top of all that, think about the church. Because it's going to be higher, it's going to be bigger, it's going to be better, it's going to be better led, it's going to be more missional, people loving people, people changing people's lives. That's the agenda of heaven on earth. When it says that, what? "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Huh? "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You cannot execute that without the church. Yeah, once you sideline the church, forget the Lord's prayer. It becomes the Lord's frustration. Hey! But thankfully, there is a prophecy by a reliable prophet. None other than the one who prophesied the coming of our Lord himself. He says, "In the latter days." Do you know the latter days? Now. Because there are no more latter days than the one like today. Today is the last day of the latter days. And then tomorrow, it will be the last day of the latter days. And then next year, around this time, it will still be the last days of the latter days. So whatever days you're living in are the latter days. I'm preaching better than you're listening. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house, the church, shall be established." I'm sure you've heard about the seven mountain prophecy, where they talk about the seven spheres of influence, where there is religion. They use religion as if we are into religion. religion. They talk about government, commerce or business, family. I think do they combine family and education? It's family, education, media and culture, media and entertainment, and then sports and culture. Right? I hope I've aced them. Those are the seven spheres of influence where they say, if you want to influence people and take them a certain direction, do not ignore family, because that's where children learn values or the lack of values. You see it during the week when people are taking children to school and they are creating an extra lane, trying to make sure traffic doesn't flow. But you have children. You're already teaching them how to behave. While yelling at the other road users and using fingers. Not to drive. That is, the point is so bad you have to crack a joke. Now, where were we? Family. So, family, government. That's why everyone thinks they should become an MP. They think the only way to influence things is to be in government. Commerce, that's business. Sports and culture. Sports and culture. Media and entertainment. Education, because the children are there in school. So you can influence them. In our generation, they were, in every generation, everyone wants the children. Yeah. So even the people who want to teach children things that are not real, they are all targeting schools. But he says that put together all those mountains, the one that shall be established above on top is the one. The mountain of the Lord's house. That's the church. That's why I believe in the church. 182%. I just forged that number. It doesn't mean anything. Don't go researching what does 182 mean. It means nothing. I'm just saying. I believe in the church. I'm willing to serve God in the church. I'm willing to give my money to the church and my time and train my children to serve in the church and to make disciples of all the nations for the sake of the church, because this mountain of the Lord's house shall be the one on top. Now, some people who didn't come are into sports betting. Some people, I'm told it's big business in some countries. I can tell you it's not a good one for you. The house always wins. Now, just in case you've lost your mind and you've decided to go into sports betting, you need to put your money on a team you suspect will win. Isn't it so, Alf? Yeah. At this point, it's very risky to mention any teams. Yeah, there's a team I used to support. The other day, they walloped some guys who have a name Devils in their name of the team. Like, Devils, they need to be beaten. But when you are... You guys, my time. If you are betting... Now, don't go to sports betting. That's the first part of this example. Don't. Yeah, but in case a demon gets into your mind and you go, don't put your money on a weak team. Okay. Why are people mentioning names? You see, every time someone mentions the name of a team, my example gets spoiled. That someone just gets spoiled. Okay, let's choose a neutral team which we think is strong. Which one is that? Huh? Chelsea. Chelsea, okay. So let's say they say there's going to be a match between Chelsea and Idudi FC. In future, when you're watching this sermon and there is a worship harvest location in Idudi, I want you to know at the point of using the example, there was no worship harvest location in Idudi. So they tell you, Chelsea, Idudi, we will win. Put your money. And you put your money on IDUDI. There's a problem. That's not even faith. There's a thin line between faith and a lack of wisdom. How would you put your money on Idudi versus Chelsea? Home advantage. There's nothing. So, looking at the trajectory of history, that rhymes, so I had to say it like that. And you look at what God has done with the church, and it's under prophecy of this, the mountain of the Lord's house is going to only go higher and higher on top of the others. Why would you put your life in something else? Now, I'm not even talking about investing money. I'm talking about investing life. Your years into you, so you decide. Now, I'm not saying all of us should resign business, what, and come to church. No. Church is the people, and the people should be in business, in government, in education, in family, of course, in sports, in entertainment. We should be there. But you should be there knowing you are there as a member of another mountain who is there to influence the other mountain, because this mountain shall be established on top of all the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Amen. Isaiah 60:22 says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. And says, I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Now, I want to give you a few reasons, depending on how much time we have. I have here 15, and they are from Bishop Doug's book, The Mega Church. I think I saw it here somewhere. So, on the other side. Yeah. Maybe like Bishop Doug. Usually he says then someone brings him the book. So I don't know what's going on here. Tasha. It's a long process. So this is the book. Okay. But I want to give you 15 reasons why Worship Harvest should be a mega church. Who is that one who is not happy with my topic? Because we are talking about flourishing in God's house. If you're going to flourish in God's house, you want to flourish in God's grass-thatched hut. You want to flourish in God's tiny house. No. If we're going to do this, let's do it. So 15 reasons why Worship Harvest should be a mega church. Actually, when they ask you, which church do you go to? You say, I go to Worship Harvest, the mega church. Ask your neighbor a bit if they go to Worship Harvest. If they go to another one, they can also put mega church on that one. Where do you attend church? The mega church. Some people don't like mega churches, so they make bad videos about mega churches. Have you ever asked yourself why people don't attack small churches and pastors who lead small churches? You know that pastor of that church with 17 people somewhere? They've never written bad things about them in the paper. Ask yourself why. Is it because they are actually of a higher moral character than the pastors of the big churches? No, the devil is a strategist. He knows big churches are taking his people away from hell. The devil doesn't want your church to grow. But sorry for him. He's going to be crying a long time. One, we should be a mega church because the desire for a mega church will lead us on a journey that will help our church grow. So the first reason, it may even sound funny, but it's true. It's that the mere desire to be one will make us grow. You see, If you have two people and they are both launching businesses, and one is going into a business that should employ 3,000 people, and another one is starting a kiosk that employs only themselves, where they sell items in the neighborhood, which of the two people do you think is going to read more business books? Which one do you think is going to be more prudent with money? Which one do you think is going to get mentors and educate themselves? Which of those do you think is going to try and learn about people management and how to treat people well? The tricky one. Because you see, the thing about the things you do in life, in addition to achieving the thing you do, the more critical thing is who you become in the process. The danger of small dreams is that they deny you the opportunity to grow. I will say that again, in case someone wants to exit. The danger of small dreams is they deny you the opportunity to grow. So if you want to be a small church, you don't have to grow. Just be around, eat maize in all forms. Porridge, roast, boiled, kaunga, gweke, popcorn. MGV. Manyegavu. You just be around. You don't mind people. You don't grow. You don't read. You don't study. You don't pray. You don't fast. You don't visit the flock. You don't teach. You don't attend proclaim. 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 Just be around, and then you'll grow old and die. A fairly useless life. Why? Because you did not have, you see, the vision makes the leader. Your vision will drive you to change. Even if you're a mean person and you have a big vision, you have to stop being mean, because now you have to work through people, and so you have to learn to be kind. It's called growth. Yeah, but if you don't care, you have been on your mudala. It is finished. What do you want me to do? I told you that thing you want is finished. But when you want your business to grow, you teach people well. I've been shocked by some Ugandan businesses, of course, the ones which are not in BLN, where people treat customers as if they are doing them a favor. Someone sent a flyer to one of our pastors. They were selling, they were trying to get into the business of selling delivery of veggies. What are those things called? Groceries. Oh, thank you, God. So, this person was actually interested. So, they text back, you know how someone sends a flyer? They text back and say, oh, I've received your flyer. I'm very interested, but I don't know who you are. Kindly let me know who I'm talking to, because now they wanted to make a purchase. Then the person texted back, are you buying me or the groceries? Tell your neighbor, what a shock! What a shocking shock! Are you buying me or the groceries? Now, no. Now, evidently, that person, do you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to check my time. So we don't have to do all the 15. We'll do some today, some next Sunday, because I feel like I'm starting to get into a groove here. Something that may help people. If you are listening to me and you are the one who sent that message, that's not how you grow business. Are you buying me or the groceries? A person who really wants to grow, it's going to humble themselves. send the name, say, oh, you're this is whatever, we are located here and here, how can I serve you? Yeah, a big vision will humble you. I've found that the most humble people that I've encountered in life are the ones that have big, that are doing big things. And you know the what's the word? Upside down. The contradiction of it all is that people think that those are the proud people. And they think that people who are not doing anything are the humble ones. No. It's a lie. If you get to know people who are doing big things at a personal level, you find them to be very humble, very amiable. Because they didn't get there by accident. They've been having to deal with so many different and difficult people along the way to get to where they are getting. By always having the peaceable wisdom that's from above that yields. Are we together? So, what's the first reason why we should be a mega church? The desire to become a mega church will lead us on a path of growth. It will lead us to listen to certain people, to read certain books. Amen. So, all of us, once we decide we are going to, now we're already a mega church collectively, but I'm now talking about your location, each one, your location being a mega church. I'm told I should stay here. You are going to have to grow because what you lead will never outgrow you. Here is how it works. Let's say you are at this level. You need to look in front. So what you lead grows, and it finds your level. Then it starts trying to outgrow you. It can't. The leader determines the lead. The leader, L-E-A-D-E-R, is the leader. L-I-D-D-E-R. I don't know if that word exists. Yeah. So it will always bounce off like that. Until you shift. Once you shift, you grow. You get mentors, coaches, books, some humility. You don't even have to be too much. Just a little humility. Saying sorry, I was wrong, forgive me, I need help. Think they are telling us something. So what, there will always be a limit on what you lead until you step up. You have to become bigger on the inside to see it on the outside. You have to take risks. Oh, that is growth, to say I'm taking this risk. Yeah, like, you know, starting this service was a risk. Because we are looking, it's fairly okay now, 9 o'clock. But people had nowhere to park. So either you keep going or grow. And say, okay, let's first do and see who comes in the morning. And then we can, if people refuse to come in the morning, we introduce hot chocolate for the morning service. Now you started to get into my head and how I think about things. Like, that's hot chocolate for a table jack 10. You can't touch that hot chocolate. Yeah. It's like, no, you are on soda service. you miss the hot chocolate time. Yeah, wait for your Fanta. I am Nanasi. There is a service in quotes at this church, in quotes, where people eat pilau. I will not even tell you what it is because that one, they know themselves. The pilau eaters know themselves. I'm telling you, they are extremely enthusiastic about their fellowship because of that ingredient. Sometimes I wonder if they are there for the word, but evidence has shown that they are growing. Yeah, the pillar has not destroyed them. You can ask Pastor Ari if you want to join that one. So, what's the first reason we should be a mega church? The desire for a mega church will lead us on a trajectory of growth. It will force us to grow. Second reason, we should be a mega church because most pastors are deceived into thinking that the work is being done when it's not being done. Matthew 9:37, I need to even give you scripture for the first one, says, he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Most people think that, you see, that's why everyone is fighting churches. They think there are too many, too loud, too numerous. They are not. People think the work is being done. Can I tell you how to know the work is not being done? To compare the traffic on Sunday morning with that on Monday morning. You'll immediately see that the work is not being done. The work is not being done. Kampala is one of the fastest growing cities in the world. That's why where you used to drive at 80 kph, it now takes you an hour to move 5 kilometers. The what? Is there what? I'm addressing one side of that. Population. Population may lead to potholes, but the population is there. So we are a fast-growing city. Buy land now, anywhere within 40 kilometers of Kampala. It's anywhere within 40 kilometers is a good purchase. Yeah. Measuring from the post office in any direction. Because in a few years, Uganda is going to be 100 million people. And Kampala is estimated to hit 40 million by a certain time. Yeah. At that time, your land you bought in 0 way because of it, yeah. You'll be dictating prices. I'm telling you. Do you know people used to beg people to buy these shell houses in Naria? Yes. Housing estate? NSSF. I mean, you can't even build, not NSSF, National Housing. It was for begging people to buy those shells. Now, so like I beg you, buy land, make that your thing. A good worship harvester is one who buys land, at least a plot. Yeah, there is land somewhere which you can afford. Yeah. I know you like Kololo, but there is land somewhere that you can afford, okay? Yeah, let's start with what you can afford. Then we can move to what you like. How about that? Yeah, patience, faith and patience. So most pastors are deceived. You see, when you see churches like Worship Harvest, what people think, no. Greater Kampala alone has about, according to my estimates, thank God there is a census coming up. I'll be proved right or wrong, but I don't think we are less than 7 million in Greater Kampala. If you add Entebbe, Wakiso, Mukono, those extents, PG, and Metropolitan, Chira, Nansana alone has 500,000 people. Now, how many churches do you need in Nansana? That means if you add only churches that seat 1,000+, you'd need 500 of them in Nansana to reach the people. But how many churches do you know that have 1,000+? So let's say Greater Kampala, 7 million people. If you are talking about mega churches, okay, let's say churches with 1,000+, you're talking about 7,000 churches. But how many are there actually? Most churches, about the average size of a church is 70. So because the average size of a church is 70, to reach 7 million people, you need how many churches? Bambi, 7 million divided by 7 million divided by 70. We first cancel the 7 and the 7. And then remove the extra zero. 100,000 churches to reach Kampala alone. 100,000. To give you context, the Church of Uganda has 25,000 parishes in the whole country, which I think is amazing. 25,000 parishes in the whole country. We are saying to reach Kampala, we need 100,000 churches in Kampala alone. Of the average size of a church, because there are going to be many, many churches of 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, then some 100, some 200, then some fairly bigger ones, then some very big ones like Fanero, Watoto, Miracle Center. Those are very few. You can count them on your fingertips. Majority are small. So don't fall for the lie that there are too many churches. They are not. Am I talking to people without? Point three. Thank God for many Sundays. We should be a mega church because God's will is that his house may be filled. Yeah, most churches are not filled because they are not mega churches. It's even here, we need to fill this service. We've just started. In Luke 14:23, says, the master said to the servant, go out of the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Oh! I have a saying. Can I share with you my saying? But this is an anniversary service, so I'm not going to, I'm just going to share with you my things. Every empty seat in church represents an empty seat in heaven. Every empty seat in church represents an empty seat in heaven. That person who didn't come and they are veering off, or they've never even heard about the Lord, they are headed in the wrong direction. And that seat, that's why we in worship service, we plant churches and start services so that we are reminded when we see the empty seats that all the people could have sat there. And maybe they need to go to another church this morning. They've gone shopping. Or they are going back home now from all-night activity. And it wasn't prayer overnight. Every empty seat on earth represents an empty seat in heaven. You know, we could have been deceived into thinking we are succeeding by keeping everyone here. If you tell all the people who have ever gone, come back, we have one church. Oh yeah, everyone would be thinking we are very successful because the place would be packed to the rafters. And we'd be having many, many several services. But you see, that's how the churches in certain countries died. They had such a great time, they didn't think of multiplying until they started growing old together and aging. And now they are fighting for survival. They didn't think about the future. They thought about the present. But every empty seat on earth represents an empty seat in heaven. So God wants his house filled. Hey. Yes. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're listening. What was the first point? Why should we be a mega church? The desire for a mega church will force us to grow. What's the second point? Most pastors are deceived into thinking the work is being done when it is not. What is the third point? God's desire or God's will is that his house may be filled. Yeah, there are people who are still at home this morning fighting their spouses who should be in church hearing the word to change their lives. Yeah. So, the more there are people in church, the less the devil has. That's why we should be a mega church. I mean, I'm not scared of talking about these things. Yeah. So that, because most people are into pretense. They want a mega church, but they can't talk about it. Yeah, keep humble. There's no humility in all of that. Point four. Point four is so good. Should I tell you point four? Point four. The harvest field. We should be a mega church because our harvest field is the world. The whole world. Mark 16, 15 to 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. What a shock! So our harvest field is the world. Do you know how many people are in the world today? 8 billion. With a B. Do you know how many of those are Christians of every kind, including the ones you disagree with completely? Including the ones you think they should become Christians? Do you know how many of those are Christians, including the ones you think should become Christians? 2.3 billion. That leaves you with 5.7 billion people who, it doesn't matter what kind of theological argument you bring, they are not going to have eternal life. They are not burning a candle or chanting something, nothing. 5.7 billion. We can't just have a nice small fellowship here while 5.7 billion people perish. We cannot. I refuse to be a part of that agenda. If the whole world were 100 people, 60 of them would live in Asia. 60. 60% of all the people live in Asia. Now think about your beautiful worship harvest. You don't even have one church in Asia. Now, it's like going into an exam and your strategy is to not answer 60% of the questions, but somehow expect to pass. What a retake! Two countries, China and India, alone are contributing more than 2 billion, like 2.5 billion between two countries of the 8 billion. 2.5 billion is more than 30%. More than 30% of all the living human beings today live in two countries, and Christianity is not the main religion there. In other words, they are all on their way to perishing, unless you have another Bible that gives you options. Are we together? So do you want a mega church or you want a small mommy, daddy, scratch my back church? The whole world is our mission field. Jesus didn't say, worship others, go into the following only villages and after that don't. The Bible that the apostles read in Acts, okay, they didn't even have it. They were, but whatever they believe is what we believe, and it was go into all the world, the whole world, the whole world. We are pivoting. This 18th anniversary, in the next 18 years, should we just grow all together here until YXP becomes MXP Mature Experience? You had people on that YXP team who were not born, who were born in Worship Harvest. They are now singing, ministering, playing instruments. What are we going to do in the next 18 years? Just keep business as usual. Keep it safe, as if the purpose of life is to safely arrive at death. I'm closing. What was the first point? Why should we be a mega church? The desire for a mega church will lead us to grow. Two, we should be a mega church because most pastors are deceived that the work is being done when it's not being done, and you don't want to join that group. Three, we should be a mega church. God's will is that his house may be. And four, a harvest field is the word. I'm going to give you only five, and then the other Sundays we can do more. Is that okay? Because what's the point of hurrying when you've just turned 18? Anyway. We should be a mega church. Five. We should be a mega church because the biblical example of churches had thousands of members. Acts 2:41, 42. Then those who received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Acts 4:4. However, many of those who had the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. That's the example in the Bible. So when you are at 200 and you feel like the place is full, we can't do evangelism. Yeah, we've aced it. No, you have not aced nothing yet. The biblical example. Now, would you want that we always stick with the Bible or we go off a little bit? One time, a certain man was given a task to cut up pieces of wood, timber pieces for a certain construction project. So they told them that length, okay, let's say 3 meters. So he got the measuring tape and measured the first piece, 3 meters, okay. Then he put the tape on a shelf. Then the next piece, he used the other piece to measure and cut. And the next piece, the third piece, he used the second piece. The fourth piece, he used the third piece. So he would use this one to cut and throw the other one away. And then the one that is just been cut, he's using it as the new standard for the next one. What do you think happened by the time he reached the 300th piece, where he was using the 299th piece to measure? What do you think? Was it still three meters? So far off the mark. So that's what happens in history. There is a standard in the scriptures, but as we go and keep measuring ourselves against ourselves, before you know it, we believe our own thing and the Bible says its own thing. In the Bible, the churches were 3,000 and then 5,000. Jesus ministered to multitudes. That was the standard. So that means that a small church, according to the scriptures, is an anomaly. It's not normal. Oh. Quietness Presbyterian has joined this morning. If the churches in the scriptures were thousands of people, what makes us think that hundreds is the new standard? Or tens? Is that why we are weak and despised by the world? They think we are few. Because we are not operating at the right scale. But now we are pivoting. Yeah. Look at your neighbor, tell them, I see a mega church pastor in you. I see a mega church pastor in you. Hey, you say yes. Hey. Some of these people, I'm prophesying to them, they are just keeping quiet. You shall not lead a small church. You shall lead a mega church. and it shall be you, not your neighbor, yourself, you. There is a church in you, and it's mega. Hey! What a blessing. Do you receive the word? But all of this, what is the point of it all? Jesus. Yeah. Why? He loves people. Jesus loves people. And he knows, he has sent us to. You know, we sometimes make a mess of it. Maybe we don't say it the way it should have been said, or we don't put it in the right tone, or we don't act it out the way it should. But we must keep trying. Because Jesus loves his people. And he wants them to be saved. Amen. Why don't we pray? Just as you are. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for 18 years of worship harvest. Thank you for loving people. Thank you that you are calling us not to settle down and congratulate ourselves, but to reach further, to reach more people, to go to more towns, to go to the highways and the byways, to go to the upcountry places, to go to different countries, to go to Asia where most of the people are trapped in ideologies, and introduce the love of Jesus. Father, we say yes to you today. Help us ignite our hearts. And we thank you, Father, because all of this is because of our Lord Jesus, who has loved us and given himself for us. And friends, if you're here, you've never given your life to Jesus. You're wondering, how do I participate in this vision? I'm not even in the house yet. This series is flourishing in God's house. And I think you can do that. Wherever you are, at all the locations where this service is being watched, or even here in the house, you're saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus. Just put your hand up and I'll pray for you. If you're that person, do not fear, do not worry, do not let anything get in the way. Or if you're online, wherever you are, you're saying, I'm the one that Jesus loves. I want to receive eternal life. Amen. Okay. There's no one in the house here, but wherever you are, at all the other locations, there should be a pastor at the front. And if you're online, just pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive my past and give me a future filled with purpose, filled with hope, and full of life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may serve you the rest of my days. Amen. Amen. Wow. Are you blessed this morning? Are you going to become a mega church? You don't sound convincing. Are we becoming a mega church? Now help me wave to all the people in the gallery and at the back. Tell them welcome to garage this morning. Oh yes. Yeah, we'll be waving to the people in the gallery. Amen. We have cake. Where is cake? Who has the cake? Wow. What's an anniversary without cake? So I'm going to invite the people who are at the first service, who are here today, to come and join me as we celebrate 18 years. You people, you are not welcoming them appropriately. Yes. Oh, yes. What a blessing. How are you going to do this? Why don't we all stand up so that there's a sense of celebration? Oh, not a sense, there's a real celebration. So all these people were there on day one. I'm going to ask them to approach the cake. Oh, yes. 18 years later, we have at least 8 people in the house of the 21. Oh, I understand why you're not clapping. Because you were not there. Now you are beefing. What a beef. We jump. Where do we count from? Diana is here. Welcome. Welcome. Join in. Join in. Huh? 1,000?
From 18, to 1,000. 18, 20, 100, 200.
Okay. Pastor Angela is helping.
All right, let's count. 18, 20, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, 1,000!
Happy birthday, Worship Harvest.
Worship Harvest, dear.
Happy birthday, Worship Harvest.
Take a picture of us. Okay. Awesome. Thank you for coming out to Garage to this celebration. May God bless you. May he cause his face to shine on you and give you peace, abundance of peace. May you lack nothing good. May there be good news coming out of your household. May there be joy and unity where you live, where you work. May your business grow. May every hindrance to your life and progress be removed as you serve and love the Lord Jesus. And may you see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555. We're taking territory.